Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This is the broadcast for July the 15th in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We're also convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. The only question is, will they let us remain peaceful? Or will we be forced to take up arms in our own self-defense? Time will tell. We pray for peace. A quick recap of Monday and Tuesday's broadcast. Why? Because my computer crashed yesterday. Couldn't get it done. Got it back online again. Believe it or not, we added up about an hour and a half after the show. So there you go. We are an IT team here, ladies and gentlemen. We can take care of that engineering. And then thank heavens to the Lord Almighty. We can babble pretty good when it comes to politics, too. How's that? Everybody's babbling. Thanks for listening. All right. Quick thing to know. We've been working on the iPhone and Android apps for the Liberty News. I'm sorry, for the Loving Liberty Radio Network. And man, they're getting good. We're putting some cool features in there, baby. Hang tight. Learn about it. LovingLiberty.net. Download the app and listen live and on demand today, would you please? And await those incredible additions we're bringing out. All right. On Monday, we had two guests on First Hour, Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org. And we talked about, you know, big pharma incentives. Billions of dollars for the vaccine manufacturers. You know, they're ecstatic about COVID-19. You know that? They're just loving it. It reminds me when I was selling radio advertising. You know, I'd go to the pharmacy and I'm like, how's things going? And they're like, man, it's horrible. Nobody's sick. No one's buying any medications, you know? Then I roll to the mortuary. Hey, how are things going? You know? Oh, it's horrible. Nobody's dying. It's just awful. And it's like, and you go to the pharmaceutical companies and they're like, this is incredible. Wow. All right, we also talked about a doctor in Layton, Utah, who says, hey, man, there's a big difference in the number of cases and the number of sick. And the number of cases do not reflect the number of sick. He's making a point. We can't focus on cases. We got to focus on deaths. Even hospitalizations don't necessarily count because a lot of people are going to the hospital that don't need to be. We also talked about the fact that the hospitals simply are not full, and we need to get back to living, ladies and gentlemen. What will keep us safe from the COVID-19? The answer is your immune system. How do you make your immune system strong? Vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc, plenty of good water, plenty of good rest, plenty of exercise, plenty of going outside in fresh air, staying away from masks. All right, we're talking about the second wave, ladies and gentlemen. J.B. Hanley wrote an article. He says, what second wave? Not even close. This thing's bogus. All right, we also talked about an essay by a Brown professor, Dr. Andrew Bostom is his name, entitled COVID-19 Herd Immunity Without Vaccination. Imagine a guy writing an article like that that's a Brown professor, but he's spot on target. The only way, ladies and gentlemen, he says, through COVID-19 is by achieving the modest 10 to 20% natural herd immunity, and then the virus will snuff itself out. It'll get weaker and weaker and eventually be a non-factor. Naturally acquired herd immunity to the COVID-19 combined with earnest protection of the elderly and the most vulnerable among us is the only reasonable and practical solution, ladies and gentlemen. Hanley finishes his article and writes, the data on IFR has now been replicated so many times that the CDC announced that, you know what, it's below 0.3%. In fact, the CDC even says all the doomsday fear is over now. You heard me. The CDC said the doomsday fear is over now. But the mainstream press just keeps a banging on that thing, huh? Oh, you're going to die. Don't go out. Don't exist. Don't breathe. Wait a minute. I thought I can't breathe was a big slogan. Well, nobody can breathe now, folks. All right. Anyway, we talked about breaking down COVID-19 as well. by Dr. Kelly Victory. Now, this lady is, she's a trauma and an emergency physician, ladies and gentlemen. Her specialty, by the way, for decades has been in disaster and, let's see, what's this called? Disaster preparedness and response, okay? Think about that. A trauma and emergency physician particularly trained in disaster preparedness and response. Okay, that's what we're talking about here. She's also involved in the management of mass casualties. And she basically says the same thing as the other two doctors I highlighted. The one in Layton and this other doctor from Brown University. And then you got this third doctor. I just give you three doctors. Of course, none of them are being heard whatsoever. We finished up by saying which side committed treason in the Civil War. Thomas DiLorenzo writes an incredible article at LouRockwell.com breaking it down. What is treason, by the way? Do you know even? Article 3, Section 3 of the Constitution says treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them or adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort. So President Trump hasn't committed treason at all. What has he done against the several states? All President Trump has done is stood back and said they have their sovereignty too. I'm going to give my guidance and my opinion, and but we're going to let them decide for themselves. And even when he's criticized for not cracking down and dictating to the states, he's shown incredible restraint. But the folks that are running around in the country today, destroying private property, destroying public property, killing people, creating violence, literally terrorism on the streets of America, those folks are committing treason against the several states. See, treason isn't against the federal government. It's against the several state republics. Right? Treason against the United States shall consist. It doesn't say against the federals. It doesn't say anything like that. So understand, we don't know what the definition of treason is in our country these days. All right, that's only hour one. Hour two, we had on Dr. Scott Bradley. And we talked about Donald Trump wears masks for the first time in public. Is he caving on the issue? I pray not, only time will tell. We are in the midst of a, quote, global pandemic, unlike any the world has ever experienced in more than a century. All right, they say that, but the other side of the coin is it's not so bad. Which do you believe? Is this doomsday because of the corona, or is it no big deal and we need to get back to life and work? Seems like the country's being split on that very topic. The question is will we trust an agency? Will we believe in choice and freedom? Or will we force? Government is not eloquence, it's force, said the founding fathers. Beware. It's like fire in a fireplace. When it's contained, it's great. When it's not, it's disaster. Beware of your government's all I can say. But the battle's on for the hearts and minds of Americans and peoples worldwide over the sacred principle of agency. I'll tell you that right now. Experts now want you to turn off your air conditioner, don't you know? Hey, man, the AC gonna kill you because of the COVID. You say, what are you talking about? They say air conditioning's with circulated air. In other words, air conditioning units that circulate the same air in the room should be switched off or only used with an open door and open window because, man, it might kill everybody, give you the COVID. Imagine turning on your AC and then just opening all the doors and windows. That sounds like an environmental disaster. Where are the environmentalists when you need them, huh? We finished up the hour with Dr. Scott Bradley by talking about Sabbath observance during the COVID-19 will prepare people for other challenges. We talked about the importance of making the Sabbath day a delight. The commandment to observe the Sabbath day is a reminder of the need for our spiritual nourishment and the duty to remember the Savior, Jesus Christ. This is so fundamental for every individual and family these days. Don't think of a list on the Sabbath of do's and don'ts on Sunday. Rather, we need to make sure that our Sunday activities don't take us away from the Spirit of God and the intent of the day. Okay, it's not a day of shopping, a day of partying, a day of boating. I'm not here to tell you what to do and don't by list, but I am here to say, it's a day of sacred. It's a day of service. It's a day of love. It's a day of worship. It's a day of prayer. It's a day to get out and serve somebody like Bob Dylan says. Got it? That was literally Monday's broadcast. Tuesday, We talked about California rolls back reopening plans. We also talked about dark days for small businesses as they go belly up left and right. We also talked about Hong Kong Disney got, well, opened and then closed again, shut down. They claim because of Corona, but I say all these shutdowns are because of out-of-control, belligerent, extreme government. That's what I would say. Government schools in San Diego and L.A. counties will not reopen this fall, online only. Well, you can count your many blessings, I'll tell you that right now. Last thing we need is kids in the government classrooms. I'll tell you that right now. The Communist Manifesto, government school plan must be shunned. Romney claims corruption in the computation. Is that how you say it? Anyway, commutation? Anyway, of Roger Stone. So of all the things Romney can point to corruption about, this guy's going to look at letting Roger Stone go? Come on now, Mitt. Why don't you talk about the SNL banking scandals of yesteryear? Why don't you talk about the financial scandals due to the Olympics in Utah? Why don't you talk about your carpet bag and the fact that you're a senator in Utah at all? Why don't you talk about, I mean, I can keep going on, buddy. Why don't you talk about Hillary Clinton and the scandals there with her emails? You seem to be quite silent on that. I think he's a Democrat in wolf's clothing or something like that. Anyway, the second hour, we talked about this Debbie Jurgatos interview with Dr. Richard Bartlett about the vaccinations, about COVID-19. AmericaCanWeTalk.org is her radio program. Incredible show. And there's obviously great interest in what the good doctor has to say. Here's what he says. You know what? We can solve the coronavirus easy. I'll give you the details in just a second, along with the final tidbits, and then the show starts with news the networks refuse to use today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, the late Charlie Daniels, RIP, my brother. Rest in peace, sir. All right, I'll tell you what, man. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. Everybody's talking. Thanks for listening. And we talked about this Richard Bartlett doctor from Texas speaking out boldly. He says, hey, man, don't fear the corona. You got to act early. But you know what? A common asthma treatment. What's that stuff called, Kurt? Inhaled something? I can't remember that name, you know.
Budesonide.
All right, inhaled budesonide is the answer. Do it early, do it often. And he basically sent a letter to his senator, Ted Cruz. He has information suggesting that the letter will get the President Donald Trump. He says in the 100% of the cases that he's dealt with, and he's dealt with a lot, he's on the front lines. His letter we read over the air, incredible detail. There are solutions for the COVID. We don't need to get crazy. We don't need to get extreme. Other countries are doing it. The evidence is there. The sad part is, what's that organization in America, Kurt? They're doing a study about it. It's not the CDC. It's the
NIH.
NIH.
That's but they were setting it up for failure.
Yeah, they're setting up this test for failure on it. Why would they do that? I don't know.
Well, Sam.
Why are they letting Fauci rule like the roost? Don't know. Yeah, but it all comes down to this conspiracy idea where at some point you say, man, I can't believe they want to protect the country. I can't believe they want to do the right thing because everything they do is so wrong. They couldn't do more wrong if they tried. They want the vaccines. They want the money. Ching-a-ching-ching. Right? Going on. That's what they want. Right? And all I'm telling you is we better stand up and reject the false narrative going on, or at least challenge the narrative. Why does any doctor who doesn't believe in the COVID like we are being told by the mainstream press, why are they all shut down and Fauci's allowed to reign supreme like a lord or something? It's insanity, folks. Anyway, I digress. We ended on a good news hour, though. A guy by the name of Isaiah Cruz, 16 years old, was robbed of his profits selling water, bottled water, if you will, in Camden, New Jersey, kind of the hood, don't you know? But anyway, the community rallies behind this kid, and the kid, he says, I tell them God blesses every time. When I sell the water, I say, God blesses. Thank you, God bless. He says, even if they don't buy my water, I still say, thank you, God bless. No wonder they won't talk about this guy who believes in God. See what I'm talking about? All right, that's a recap of yesterday's broadcast. News the Network refused to use starts now. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
All right, and our buddy, our dear friend James Edwards, Race, Politics, and Hypocrisy in 21st Century America. His book's called Racism, Spacism. He's an author. He's a well-known talk show host in his own right and a dear friend. His radio program every Saturday night, award-winning show, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Spread the word, thepoliticalcesspool.org. He advocates for the white race. Is he allowed to do that in America? You can advocate for any race but the white race. If you do that, you're certainly a racist. But you know what? I've decided I want to create a T-shirt, and it says I'm a racist. And right under it, it says, because you pro-choice suckers decided for me. I don't get a decision in the matter, see? That's how these people are. They're a bunch of thugs. They pretend they're for pro-choice. That's only pro-murder. They're really for no choice for you, you racist thug. Got it? That's how they are. Welcome, James.
Sam and Kurt, thank you so much. It's great to be with you. And I tell you, the more time goes by, and it seems as the older we get, and I turned 40 last week or last month, time does go by more quickly, but I was just thinking about where we were 4 years ago today. This was the week of the Republican National Convention in 2016. Of course, Sam, me and you and Kurt were up there in Cleveland, and we could probably spend the rest of the show reminiscing about that, but it just goes to show that that really was a week I'll remember for the rest of my life, and I'm so glad I got to share it with y'all 4 years ago this week. But it does go to show how much things can change. I mean, my goodness, did you ever think when we were there that particular week that the world would be the way it is now just 4 short years later? And it's hard to even believe that there's a presidential election going on this year. It doesn't seem like there is.
Amen to that. 4 short years, things have changed. Now they're going to have to do what the Republican National, I don't know what you want to call it, convention or whatever. They're going to have to possibly do it outside now. They're debating venues. Some are saying it might be even forced to go virtual. Time will tell. We'll keep an eye on that ball just for you. Interesting tidbit. Jeff Sessions is out. Tommy Tuberville is in. Endorsed by President Trump, beats Sessions. Handily, I might add. What was it, 60-39, Kurt?
Yeah, it was almost a 2-1. You
all
know,
right. What's that landslide? 60-39 a landslide?
Well, yeah, I think it is. And, you know, some would say, well, what's the story there? Because,
I thought Trump was losing on the ropes everywhere.
Yeah.
Just being associated with Trump pulls out a double, 2-1 win, right?
Well, and the thing you got to remember is the president, this Jeff Sessions goes way back. He was the first sitting senator to endorse the president when he was running as a candidate, which, took a lot of courage, I think. But then somehow when the president chose him to be the, attorney general, seems like right off, Well, he just lost his mojo and basically just didn't do anything with that spot. And
yeah,
so
some are saying he turned on the president. He says he recused himself to this day.
Well, very good. He recused himself, and so nothing really got done during that whole period. And then he finally resigned, and we got a different attorney general. Then he went back. My preferred candidate from that state, Judge Roy Moore, didn't really get to make it simply because he got beat up in the media and just by fraud and otherwise. He's not the senator. I kind of still hope that the president might say, well, we could use a new Supreme Court justice or maybe even a rougher attorney general and use Judge Roy Moore for
and
that.
And I hope, along with you, Kurt, you're spitting in the wind. He's been very hostile to Roy Moore, who's been very kind and generous and friendly to the president, too. But the president, it's kind of like spitting in the wind on that one. I pray you're right, but President Trump hasn't been very nice and hasn't defended, in my opinion, Roy Moore at all.
A little bit of good news in the Roy Moore situation, though. He has at least his lawsuit with Larry Klayman and against that, Sasha Cohen?
Sasha, yeah,
is, moving. It's moving forward, and, I hope he extracts a bunch of money from him and from Cohen and his handlers, if you will.
Amen on both counts.
The good Judge Roy Moore fighting the battle, always in the trenches.
All right, James, you want to speak out on Jeff Sessions? He's out, buddy. Go against Trump, and it's curtains. The new, you got the old Republicans, that's the Jeff Sessions. And the new Republicans, that's the Donald Trumps.
Yeah, all of that, going back to Roy Moore's special election, which was held because Jeff Sessions left to go and serve with the Trump administration, and Trump got as close enough to Alabama as Pensacola to a rally for Roy Moore. You know, all of this could have been avoided if the Republicans hadn't defeated Roy Moore. I mean, that's what happened. It was the Country Club Republicans in Alabama who didn't want to support Roy Moore because of that completely manufactured hoax about him being a pedophile. It was just really one of the most disgusting things the media ever has ever done to anyone, and just really let that sink in because we know how disgusting the media is. Roy Moore is my favorite of the three we're talking about, but forgetting all of that for a moment, it came down this time to Sessions and Tuberville, and there is just no doubt at all Jeff Sessions is a far superior candidate and far more on board with even the issues Trump espouses than Tommy Tuberville. Jefferson Beauregard Sessions, you can't get much more southern than that. Sessions is stout-hearted on immigration. Again, just a far superior candidate, but he crossed Trump personally. And because Trump does have this character flaw, he went after him in a vindictive type of way and got the worst of the lot that could have been elected between Moore, Sessions, and Tuberville. Alabama's got Tuberville.
Now, well, and I don't believe that Tuberville is going to be better to Trump than Sessions was. Not that I think either of them are good to the president. I think Roy Moore would have been the most loyal by far.
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. And Sessions would be, let's just call it 1A to the Roy Moore number one. But Tuberville is just going to be another wine-and-dine establishment Republican. I mean, there's just nothing good. You might as well keep Doug Jones, frankly. But anyway, that's where we got. That's where we are.
All right, Best Buy, the latest company across the nation, the huge electronic retailer, to require customers to wear masks. So you got states mandating them. You got stores mandating them if you're going to go in their stores. It is their private property, you know. Are we going to be forced to wear masks everywhere? Quick poll on that from Kurt and James. And then I want to talk about an article published in the LA Times coming up. Liberty Roundtable Live on your favorite hard-hitting talk radio station.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. You
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
After the U.S. Supreme Court recently blocked President Trump's efforts to end the Obama-era DACA immigration policy that protects young illegal immigrants brought to the U.S. as kids, he's promising to sign what he calls a very big executive order on it very soon.
I'm going to take care of DACA much better than the Democrats did. The Democrats had their chance, and they blew it.
Mr. Trump did not elaborate on what the order will say. In that exclusive interview with CBS, he also said the U.S. immigration system will be a mess if former VP Joe Biden wins the White House in November. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg is hospitalized again in Baltimore. The 87-year-old admitted on Monday night after feeling chills and a fever, and then she underwent a procedure, according to a statement from the High Court. And this is USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature, changing the world one life at a time.
Balance of Nature, no question. Your product's a great product. I mean, it's very, very good. I own a couple of businesses, so I'm on the go a lot. There's no doubt that the energy level increased. And again, your product is very, very good, and I couldn't live without it, to tell you the truth. I thank you for your time. Thank you for the information. And when you talk to Dr. Howard, give him my best and tell him he's got a great, great product.
Don't wait to see what getting over 10 servings of whole fruits and vegetables every day can do for you. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Start your journey to better health today by calling 1-800-246-8751 or by going to balanceofnature.com. Again, that's balanceofnature.com. And make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code USA.
Jeff Sessions is accepting defeat in the fight to get his old U.S. Senate seat back. The former attorney general conceding to former Auburn football coach Tommy Tuberville in the Alabama Republican primary runoff election yesterday.
He is our Republican nominee. We must stand behind him in November.
President Trump backed Tuberville over his former AG because Sessions recused himself from the Russia investigation. Tuberville will face off against Senator Doug Jones in November. The creators of Glee are honoring actress Naya Rivera. They said in a statement yesterday the actress was special and that it was a joy to work with one of the most gifted actresses they'd ever come across. Following Rivera's drowning in a Southern California lake last week, the three said they'll be creating a college fund for her four-year-old son. Find us online at usaradio.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, happy to have you along Liberty Roundtable Live, breaking it down just for you. Hard-hitting talk, always at your fingertips. So Best Buy to require everybody to wear masks now, and it's another massive change. Starbucks doing the same. I could go on and on. Are they going to force us all to wear masks, ladies and gentlemen? I usually, when I walk into a place, tell people I have my mask on, and when they see my face, they kind of look at me and think I'm kind of, you know, what? What are you talking about, Sam? And I say, God gave it to me. Of course, that doesn't fly, and they want to kick me out if I don't wear the man-made covering. Of course, if I wear a Trump is great mask, then they'll beat the tar out of me and probably kill me. Other than that, it's all good. So it's strange. Are they going to force masks on us all, Kurt? A quick poll, then. Let's move on. Kurt?
Yeah, they're in the process of that, Sam. It's part of the whole political correctness, it just continues on. So the one thing, I guess the winners of this move, in my opinion, will be the continual movement of everybody to purchase things online so that you don't have to deal with that. And those of us who feel strongly against that problem, then we'll embrace any place we can go
Well, you can virtually go there. You can have a mask emoji or whatever they call those things. Emoji. There, no, Kurt, you can have one of them emoji masks. And, you know, very, very strange, the force that we've allowed to happen in America, ladies and gentlemen. Imagine if I would have said to you 20 years ago, hey, man, the big question of the day is going to be to mask or not to mask. You know, what are you going to do? Are you going to be forced to wear a mask in public by all governments and virtually by all private, quote, public property owners? I say private property owners, but public services. And do they have that right? Yes, they do. But at the same time, you know, if I would have brought that up to you, you would have laughed at me and went, are you crazy? No one's going to go along with that. Come on. But literally like sheeple, we've been like lemmings over the cliff. It's insanity. All right, quick poll from you, James. Are they going to force us to wear masks, buddy? Or are the people going to push back?
That, yeah, they are forcing us, and the people are not pushing back. I've got a lot to say about this, but I'll make it quick. From the time this whole thing started back in March until yesterday, I had never put on a mask, not even for 1 second. But what happened was when I went to the post office to check my mailbox, I had a slip, and so I had to go to the counter to pick up a package. They would not give me service unless I put on a mask. So put it on for all of 5 minutes so I can get my package. But you're talking about now the denial of service. Now, this thing is obviously not the threat, not even close to the way it's being portrayed. You talk about the caseloads. Ron Paul talked about this. Cases are going up. Deaths are not. Anybody can see that this is not a particularly potent killer. It's really not much more than a cold, in my opinion. But, yes, we've gotten to the point now. Well, I've considered, you know, is this just to get Trump out of office? Does this thing all go away on November 4th?
No, sir.
Well, let me ask you this. I got two more questions. Is this a beta test to see how complacent people will be to accept the future mark of the beast? You know, you already talked about denying service. You're talking about going to a cashless society. You have to wear this in order to participate in society. This is like a beta mark of the beast thing. Or, you know, is there going to be something in this vaccine that's going to make us even more docile than we already are?
Well, all those questions are legitimate. Some answers we have, some we don't. You're right on when you say there's an agenda here. They're literally tying this agenda to global warming is what's happening. And I have several examples. I mentioned the air conditioner example. They literally are trying to get people to turn off their air conditioners now, saying, hey, that indoor circulated air is going to kill everybody in your house. You got to open your windows and doors if you're going to have the AC on, but really, you got to turn off your AC. That's where they're headed, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's switch to another topic here. I agree they're forcing us to all mask up, and the only way to not mask up is to not really go out in public, and so I think more and more of us are going to be, you know, Operation Hashtag Hermitville is what we're turning into, folks. All right, an article published in the LA Times is very interesting. In a way, we're switching gears. In a way, we're not, if you will. But the article in the LA Times is pushing what we need to do is get rid of the racist Star Spangled Banner. And what we need to replace it with is Bill Withers' Lean On Me. That's why I play the Lean On Me tune, folks. So what do you think? Should we replace the Star Spangled Banner with Lean On Me, Kurt?
No, when it comes to fixing these or so-called fixing these problems, they don't really want my recommendations, Sam.
All right, Kurt Crosby, the racist, says no, we shouldn't get rid of the racist Star Spangled Banner. How do I know Kurt's a racist? Because he wants to support the racist song over the freedom song, don't you know? The Bill Withers Lean On Me song. What do you say? Are you a racist too, James?
Well, that's what they call me.
Yes, sir.
That's what I've read. That's what I've read about myself.
Yeah, see, they've decided for you. See, my T-shirt comes into play, buddy. The free choice folks, the pro-choice people have decided for you that you're a racist. Don't even try to deny it, buddy.
Well, you know, the thing about the 4th of July is, and the thing about being a racist is, and I've talked about this, of course, we use the word tongue-in-cheek, but I talked about this 10 years ago when my book came out. I said, you know, the day is coming, and it was really already almost there 10 years ago, but it's certainly beyond the point now where all white people are racist. In fact, not just white people now. Everything is racist. Increasingly, a couple of weeks ago, we were reading all of this stuff about how racist the Star Spangled Banner is, how racist, it, not only racist, but worse yet, white supremacist the 4th of July holiday was. And I'll tell you something about the Star Spangled Banner. I played that on my show during the opening moments of my 4th of July broadcast. We were live on the 4th. It was a Saturday. And I played a really nice rendition of the national anthem. And, yeah, I mean, if you listen to that, it still gets to you when you think about those Patriots of Francis Scott Key and what that must have been like. But a listener of my show sent me in an email, and I didn't know this. The reason they play the Star-Spangled Banner before sporting events is that whole thing started back in World War II during the depths of despair during World War II, or perhaps I believe it might have been immediately after it because the boys were over in war. But right around that time period, it was a World Series game going on, and the crowd was just completely quiet. Everybody was fretful over the war. Everybody was depressed. World Series game, completely quiet. And then I think in the seventh inning, they played the Star-Spangled Banner, and everybody rose and just gave this wild cheer. And that's how the tradition of playing the national anthem began.
All right, well, let me give you this story to kind of help your narrative along, because you're spot on about this. It's a patriotism shout for all people everywhere, even people around the world who seek for the freedom that we take for granted a lot of times. And here's what's interesting about this. They say Francis Scott Key wrote the thing, and he's a flat-out racist and owned slaves and everything else. And that's why it's slave-ridden and hate-filled racism to play it right now. But here's the interesting thing. Back in 1992, Whitney Houston sang that at a very famous sporting event. And believe it or not, if you go search on the internet, the most popular version, the most prized version ever sung of the Star-Spangled Banner from the time it was created till today is the Whitney Houston rendition. Okay? Now, what I find interesting about that, by the way, she sang it so beautifully. I mean, other people have sang it too, and there's a lot of good renditions out there, but she's really done the best. I mean, there's no debating it. It was incredible. Now, as far as I understand, I mean, I can't see her, but as far as I understand, she was black, right? So let me get this straight. Francis Key wrote the thing, a racist slave thug. We let a rock star who has literally went from a nobody to somebody in the greatest country on the face of the earth that gave her the American dream. She got wealthy. She got famous on her wonderful singing abilities, on raw talent, in the place that would let her do so. One of the very few places in the world that she could do so, I might add. The leader of the free world, so to speak. She had no problem singing that song. In my mind, it really highlights the celebration of the freedom that we've given everybody that have come to this country. No doubt the road's been rocky for some. The road's been the most rocky for the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, more so than the blacks and the Native Americans or Indians or anybody else. I mean, they're the only ones that literally had a flat-out extermination order against them in the state of Missouri by Governor Boggs back in the day, forced to flee in the middle of winter with bare bloody feet, etc., forced out of their homes by bayonet and gun, the women and children being raped and pillaged and plundered and shoot anybody, women and children on sight, kind of an extermination order from the governor of Missouri. But they went to the United States government, the president of the United States, and asked for a redress of grievance, and he basically said, your cause is just, but I can do nothing for you. You tell me a people that's happened to. Of course, I'm not running around asking you to give me reparations or anything like that. I'm just making a point, highlighting reality, ladies and gentlemen. The bottom line, though, is in a country for Whitney Houston to be able to have no problem singing that, it becomes the best rendition ever sung, and she's a black lady. I think that tells the truth about the Founding Fathers' intent and about our intent as a people. We believe in freedom. Right?
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this, the Kosher Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities. And it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Barry Weiss, I guess was with the New York Times, a big-time editor, etc., opinion writer, etc., etc. She quits. She cites bullying by colleagues and what she calls an illiberal or illiberal environment. Now, do you know much about the word illiberal, Kurt?
Well, I guess it's dangerous for liberals.
No. I-L-L-I-B-E-R-A-L, illiberal. I had to look it up because I didn't really know, but here's what it means. Intolerant, narrow-minded, unenlightened, fundamentalist, reactionary, alt-right, conservative. What? Undemocratic, anti-democratic, authoritarian, strict, repressive, totalitarian, despotic, tyrannical, draconian, oppressive, fascist, opposite, liberal, archaic, uncultured, or unrefined. And that's just getting started, James.
Hey, Andrew, think about
think about this lady that's a bigwig at the New York Times, and she leaves, and that's the word she uses to describe them. In one word, she nails these, in my opinion, narrow-minded, intolerant thugs. And, you know, why she was with them for so long is a good question to ask her. I'd love to get her on the radio to interview her and discuss this in detail. But I look at this and I go, think of that one word that she used. This is why these writers are so good. Their vocabularies are incredible. And in one word, she literally slaughters these people. Barry Weiss at the New York Times quits. She cites bullying by colleagues in an illiberal environment. Boom. Whoa. But boy, is she spot on, James.
You know, when you first started this segment, I thought you were saying Barry White. And we were going to talk about music, but yeah.
No. Oh, Barry White, we can talk about that now. He's been able to live the American dream too, right? Now, is that guy white?
No, isn't there a great irony in that?
Wait a minute. Can he have the name White but be a black dude and have the American dream, and then we say we're a bunch of racists that listen to him? I don't know what's going on with all that, but there you go.
Yeah, but the Barry Weiss thing is interesting. I wish.
Now, by the way, it's a female, and her name is spelled differently, just so everybody kind of understands what we're talking about. It's
but that's not like my wife.
It's B-A-R-I is how you spell her name.
Right. Barry, B-A-R-I. Like I said, like my wife, D-A-N-I. So we got a Danny and a Barry, but they're both females. But, yeah, so I wish more, you know, this kind of Sean Bergen-esque, Sam. I wish more people in the media would speak truth to power about what's going on there, because it's the media, more than any other institution, more than any one person, the media is driving this whole march to perdition that we've been on for so many decades now. The media absolutely has the power to make something real or to make something disappear. It's just really incredible. Obviously. I mean, look at the people with the masks. I mean, that's media perpetrated.
What do you think when she's calling the New York Times illiberal, Kurt?
Well, by the way, her last name is Weiss, W-E-I-S-S, and, you know, versus White, where the black man is named White. But this lady...
by the way, I know some white people named Black, too, just so you know.
Yeah, it's kind of confusing in life. But anyway...
Unless you don't care.
She actually worked at the Wall Street Journal before, and so now she says she's been a victim at the New York Times of some of the people there calling her a Nazi and a racist. She says, I've learned to brush off comments about how I'm writing about the Jews again. Several colleagues perceived to be friendly with me were badgered by coworkers, she says. My work and my character are openly demeaned on company-wide Slack channels. What's a Slack channel, by the way?
All right, so Slack is a service that's like an internet chat service. You install a Slack client on your computer or your phone or do it over the web, and then it puts a bunch of people together, and it's basically like an instant messenger thing where you can chat and communicate and upload files and press a button and phone call each other. And it's a communication tool for business, but it's the next version of IM, if you will. It's very, very popular.
Very good. The only thing
Kurt's
I knew
slacking
about
off
Slack
on Slack.
Was,
he doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah, when I was back years ago, my dad would rope. That's, you know, a term that they use for cowboys when they got a cow and a horse and a, you know, calf and all that kind of stuff. And you'd slack your rope a little bit up and, you know, you could loosen it up and get it off the
there
cow.
You go.
But anyway,
you go to slack.com, buddy. You can create your own circles and have a great time with that.
All right.
By the way, the average U.S.
Anyway,
gas price down, Kurt. 2 cents over 2 weeks. No, I'm sorry. It's
I'll
up
tell you
over
what.
2 cents. Yeah, not down. Well, it's up. And you wonder why. $2.24 a gallon. How come it's up, Kurt, when no one's driving around, man?
You'd sure think that the price would go down, but
it's up.
I do think there are a lot of folks that are, I guess you could say, illegally driving from place to place and going to see things.
Oh, yeah,
and
just spreading around,
you know,
Corona.
That's right. Just, you know, going to family reunions and stuff like that and out on boats and
you're
dumping
kill
a whole bunch of
man.
Fuel, you know. Yeah, I've seen it. And,
right.
You know, it's a dangerous situation, I'm sure.
All right, there's an opinion editor, Karen Ataya. And she's worked for the Washington Post. And now she's calling for Major League Baseball's Texas Rangers team name to be changed. Listen, she's saying that in light of the namesake, law enforcement agencies, you know, history, the team might as well be called the Texas Klansmen. I kid you not. Okay, this lady is off her rocker. So what do you think, man? The Texas Rangers, they might as well be called the Texas Klansmen. I thought James Edwards would be the best person to ask about this. Hey, man, the Texas Klansmen. You going to play on their team, buddy?
I wrote about it. Let me say again, 10 years ago, we saw this coming. All white people, what is a racist? A racist is a white person, and all white people are racist. Period. That's going to be the narrative coming soon. And sure enough, it was prophetic. The Texas Rangers were some of the most noble people, courageous people, these members of law enforcement that helped tame the Wild West. I mean, Texas Rangers are the personification of Texas. These were great men. These were heroes. Yeah, the Texas Rangers are the same as saying, you know, a Ranger is the same as a Klansman. When we saw the whole thing with Washington, they're just the Washington Redskins. They are so emboldened now, Sam. I mean, they're just doing to see what they can get away with now. And, hey, wait and see. Hide and watch, as my friend Keith Alexander says, the Texas Rangers will change their name.
It is hard to even fathom this discussion we're having. The Texas Rangers to be called the Texas Klansmen, got to change their name. What names can we use?
I don't think they even need to worry about the name if they're going to just basically do all this political correctness. They're just going to go away anyway, and nobody's going to go to the games and watch them and support them and buy stuff. So, you know, who cares about what the name's going to be if they're going to do all that?
In fact, why don't we just call to just shut down all sports? Because here's what's happening. A bunch of white people are funding all the sports for all these black athletes to get rich anyway. Why don't we just say we're not going to fund that, quote, American dream that's become a racist nightmare?
Well, I tell you, sports needs to be defunded. You got the NBA now writing what I consider arguably to be a terrorist group, or, you know, a cop, you know, a group that has been responsible for the murdering of cops. Black Lives Matter is going to be painted on all the courts. But as far as this whole thing, hey, why not ban the Portland Trailblazers? What were the Trailblazers? You talk about the Oregon Trail, a bunch of white people going from Missouri up to Oregon. You know, you got to ban that.
Getting all rich and taking over the Native Americans' land and everything else.
Yeah, you got to ban that.
Taking their women, and I mean, it goes on and on. Rape culture and everything going on in that, man. Come on.
Stuff, though, I mean, are these people too stupid to see?
Do you remember they used to say, go up there in them hills, there's women, whiskey and gold up there, you know?
I like that song. That's a Toby Keith song, I think. The thing is, though, they're probably so blinded by hatred of whites to really understand that when you name a team like, for instance, the Atlanta Braves or the Kansas City Chiefs, you are honoring your vanquished warrior. You know, when Americans renamed rivers and cities and all of these things after their defeated enemies, former enemies, they did that as a show of respect. That's what that is. That's respect.
I don't even know exactly how to respond to this, James, because really the names of things, really the origins of many names comes from the time and the circumstance and the place. And it was not, you don't name a sports team after somebody for derision or hate purposes. You name it after it to honor it, to revere it, to focus on it, to bless it, to support it, to extend the remembrance of a kind of a discussion. And they've turned this all upside down.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Why do we call we could go on and on and on about this. Why do they call it the Apache helicopter? Well, because the Apache were fierce warriors. They were a worthy adversary. They are honored. And by the way, you know, even white people are the only ones who would honor a vanquished foe this way. You know, everybody else throughout history, there was an article that came out in a major publication that talked about all Indian tribes practiced slavery. And they didn't name their villages after the people that they genocided. They just genocided them, all right? So this is, again, war is hell. You know, it's a nasty business, but whites were by far the most gentlemanly about it, and there was some respect afforded. You did not get that if you fell under the sword of a Saracen or a Muslim or any of this other stuff. Only white Christians did this kind of stuff, letting them stay alive. What, didn't they give them Oklahoma last week? Didn't they feed Oklahoma back to the Indians? I mean, yeah, so no, this whole thing, we're evil, this, all this, it was done. There was battle fought. We fought tooth and nail. We fought for every square inch. They fought us. They tried to genocide us. We fought back. You go back and you read some of the battles that happened as soon as the settlers landed on this continent. I mean, that whole thing. I mean, the Indians were fierce. All right? They fought for their land. We fought for it, too. That was history. That's the way the world
was. But let's be clear, though. Whose land was it before that? And, you know, we can go on and on and on. And the origins of land is a very difficult topic. And I'm not defending taking land from anybody, but I am saying at some point you go, history is so confusing and muddled. What do we do looking forward, not looking back, would be my point.
I got to say this one thing about that, Sam, to a point, because they were talking about how we took the land from the Indians to build Mount Rushmore and what a white supremacist thing Mount Rushmore is. Well, there was another article that talked about how many different Indian tribes conquered that land and took it from each other before the whites took it from the Lakota tribe.
Yeah, but don't worry, though. They can take it from each other. It's no problem. But the white man, you can't take it from us. That's different now.
That's right.
See, and that's the racist narrative they're pitching, but nobody calls them out on it. I, for one, will. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't like to debate race. I believe we're all God's children, and he loves us all, and we're all equal before him. If we keep his commandments, he'll bless us, and if we don't, we're in trouble. That applies to everyone. But, of course, they say I'm a racist for even saying that. Wow. All right, I want to talk about Pat Buchanan coming up. Kurt's got a great article we'll talk about as we kick off hour two of the Hard-Hitting Liberty Roundtable talk show. God save the Republic. We declare this nation shall endure.